Good morning. It's good to see each one of you this morning and to share with you in the singing of God's Word. And it's good to hear the Word read before us. And those who are from the community, we're especially appreciative of your presence this morning. Last week, we had a gospel meeting with Brother Tony Hudson, and in the meeting, he gave us various points with regard to our spiritual growth and our spiritual development. And what I thought would be good this morning is simply not to summarize all of his points, but rather to encapsulate it within the idea that we as Christians need to be committed to excellence. Now, I recognize that at first we might say, well, no kidding. Of course we need to be committed to excellence. But that's sometimes easier said than done. There are two things that we look at in this particular title that are absolutely essential. One is the sense of being committed, and the other is the sense of understanding and knowing what excellency is. What we're going to do this morning is examine a contrast between excellence and simply being mediocre. You may think at first, well, I don't understand. I don't have a problem with being mediocre, but I would suggest that at times we do. When you look back at the creation, you find that when God was finished creating each thing there in Genesis, He said that it was good. And with that idea of good is a sense of completeness. And while we use the word good in a somewhat ordinary sense, it had behind it the power of God putting forth that which was best for mankind. There are a number of theories and thoughts about what Genesis 1 is talking about. And while we're not going to get into that this morning, I would suggest to you that there's really a lot in that chapter about the preparation of a dwelling place here on earth for mankind. We come to know it as the Garden of Eden. What the chapter isn't talking about, and again, I don't want to get sidetracked on this, I don't think the chapter is talking specifically about all the earth, though all the earth is talked of, all the universe, though all the universe is talked of, but rather ultimately that dwelling place for man on earth in the Garden of Eden. And what the passages tell us is that God made a perfect place there in Eden for man to live. And then eventually, and again we don't know the time frame, eventually for a woman to come on the scene and to dwell with him in that which was good. God wasn't careless about it. God wasn't haphazard about the things that he created that Adam and Eve might live in complete harmony with him. But he also made it a case that they had to choose if they were going to live in complete harmony with Him. And you and I have to choose as well. Do we choose to be mediocre, or do we choose that which is excellent? Now, when we talk about the idea of being mediocre, and that's going to be the first thing that we're going to be talking about and laying out as a groundwork to avoid or to build our way out of, we're talking about that which is really of low quality. That which is basically inadequate. And rather than seeing the word good as God used it through Moses there in Genesis 1, mediocrity says we're going to make it good enough. I'm going to have a get-by attitude and do that which is minimal. I want to look at a couple of Old Testament examples. In Haggai, the first chapter in verse 4, Haggai reminds the people, having come back from their captivity, is it time that for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? They had been back from the captivity, at least a large portion of them had come back from the captivity, and they were beginning to build the city. But what we find is that they had gone out and gotten great timbers and all kinds of good things, and they built their houses all very nice and pretty. The idea of paneled houses suggests the idea of some luxury. And yet, what had they done about the house of God? Haggai says, the house of the house of God, the temple, is still lying in ruins. Now, for you and I, that probably seems like it's just incomprehensible. How could I develop this beautiful home in which to live, and then just down the street a little ways, I can look at the ruins when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple? And I can walk by the temple, and I can go about my daily life, and I can come back into my beautiful house, and yet not do anything with the house of God at that day. But the warning is for you and I as well on a spiritual level. If we are more interested in what's going on in our lives than what is spiritually important, then we are taking on that attitude of mediocrity, and we are taking on the attitude that it says, I need to take care of myself, I need to take care of the things that are good for me, the things that are important for me, and once I get those things straightened out, then I'll get around to my spiritual house of God. If that's my attitude, if that's your attitude, then Haggai's warning to the people of Israel becomes spiritually applicable to you and I. Over in Malachi, the first chapter, in the second verse, eighth verse rather, he says, and when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? We know what the answer to that is. The answer is no. Now, I want you to think again, because that's the Old Testament, but I want you to think about what was going on there. They had been hearing of and had been taught before the captivity about the idea of you brought your first, you brought your best, you brought it to the temple, you brought it for sacrifice to God. Can you imagine what Jerusalem must have looked like at that time as people were calling out their flock, keeping the best to the side, and here's this, well, this lamb just is no good. It's hobbling. There's some deformities to it. This one's gotten some sickness that's been going through some of my flock. I'll dump those on the Lord. I'll give those to the Lord. You and I sit back and say, that's an absurdity. How could those people of Israel have such an attitude? Be careful. Be careful lest we are judging what seems absurd in behavior there, as Malachi warns them, if we're being mediocre in our service to God, if we're just being lackluster, if we're being ineffective and we're being insincere. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. I don't want to scare anybody off from coming tonight, but we're going to talk about the model of giving found among the Macedonians and the importance of giving. And just let me say as an aside, giving is one of the toughest sermons for me personally to preach because I have a paranoia about my income. I've had a paranoia about my income all of my life. All of my life as a preacher. I didn't have a paranoia about my income as a preacher. I mean, as a plumber, that was fine. But as a preacher, but I'm glad the men have asked me to specifically deal with the question of giving in relation to our plans as a congregation. So come back for the rest of that tonight, but understand our responsibilities before God in this matter. We can't be mediocre. We can't simply say, I want to do what we'll get by. If we in our personal lives have a general tendency to be mediocre on spiritual matters, then what we're really doing is saying we're going for the average. We're going for the inferior. We want eventually just to take the course of least resistance. What is the minimal thing I can do to keep the preacher and others off my back? that's what I'll do. What is the minimal I can do in order to get by with God? That's what I'll do. Now, I'll tell you, the problem oftentimes is we don't ask ourselves that blunt a question as we're trying to serve God. Talk to a lot of people who know that's the question to ask, but they never ask it of themselves. And they will tell me the reason they don't ask it of themselves is they don't want to have to face the answer to the question. And then when you take it to the next logical point in relation to eternity, I don't think about eternity. Well, why don't you think about eternity? You realize this mediocre life you're living in the presence of God. Why don't you think about eternity? I don't want to face the consequence of that. The loss of my soul because I've not been faithful to God in excellent service to Him. Let me tell you this morning, this is not a lesson of degrees of faithfulness. Today's lesson is an either or lesson. So today's lesson is set in just a moment going to switch to a very high standard that each and every one of us needs to have within our lives. It isn't going to be the idea of excellence for those who want to be elders within the congregation. It isn't going to be a matter of excellence for those few that we'll look at as examples to the congregation. This excellence is going to be a call to our physically youngest Christian, our physically oldest Christian, the spiritually youngest here in today's lesson is going to be called on to strive for excellence in service to God. And by no means are you to assume that as we move to the matter of excellence that we're talking about, oh, sinless perfection. But I will remind you, as I have, as I did a few months ago, and from time to time, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing discouraging about saying, you know what? I want to be sinless. That is my goal each day, to have accomplished this day a sinless life. Not to earn my way to heaven, not to show anybody how good I am, but because of my relationship with God, I strive for the excellence in my relationship with Jesus Christ and in my relationship with God. So what we're urging is saying no to a commitment to mediocrity and yes to a commitment of excellence. And we'll begin in the Old Testament with Ecclesiastes. As the ecclesiastical writer says there in chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There's no part of my service to God that I should do half-heartedly. None. My prayer life, my Bible reading life, my relationship with my spouse, my relationship with my family, my relationship with my brethren. The ecclesiastical writer says, do it with your might. Do you approach your spiritual life with that kind of attitude? I would hope that we would. And I would hope that that's the goal for each one of us, because, again, for today's lesson, the contrast is yes or no. Mediocrity, no. Excellence, yes. Doing things with all of our might. Look at what Paul tells the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Here's the excellence for you. For you, serve the Lord Christ. Cut and dry. Cut and dry. There's no kind of serve. There's no sometimes serve. If we're striving for the excellence of this morning's lesson, we're talking about always being of a mind frame that I'm a servant of the Lord Christ. And that's where my excellence will lie. And that's what I'll seek to show others, not for my glory, but the glory of God. The glory of my Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 15:58, this is a lesson all in itself. In verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Mediocre people, spiritually, there's no steadfastness. Immovable? Are you kidding? They're moved here and there, everywhere. Abounding in the work of the Lord? I think not, as a mediocre person. These should describe you as one who is striving for excellence. And again, none of this is for our glory, but because of who we are. Children of God. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 6. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." I want to put a challenge before you, and this is a challenge that's going to fill up much of 2015, if the Lord wills. How many people do you invite to church? Now, I'll tell you, quite frankly, in some ways that can become rather passé. Come on, I've been a Christian so long and I've invited so many people over the years, I've just kind of run out of gas to invite people. It's time to fill your tank back up. It's time to get new spark plugs. I'm not sure how far I'm going to go with this metaphor, but it's time to get yourself charged back up. Go back to the people that you've asked before, and ask again. That may be too much for them because of other obligations they have. But seeking opportunities to share with them some portion of the gospel. Setting your mind on passages for the coming week that you want to take to them to share. I don't know what to do with the bulletin. But if you'll notice on the bulletin, the front of it is a very short commentary, comments, whatever you want to call it, that I put together on a particular passage. It just takes a few seconds to read, a minute or two to read. But in most of those, there's a challenge for us during the coming week. Have you ever thought about taking that particular passage from that particular bulletin and find people throughout the week to share it with? Maybe the first day of work, whether it's Monday or Tuesday or whatever, there are people around you who know you're going to talk about that passage and the little points that are made in that passage each week. My point is that we need to get back to, some of us, sowing the word bountifully. Some probably are already doing that. But I would suspect some of us have gotten mediocre about it. And what did we decide about mediocrity? We don't want any part of it. We're going to get away from it, so we're going to start sowing bountifully. That's just one illustration of how we can do it. There are other things we can do as well. The point is that when we take on excellency, what we are doing is accepting the idea that there is dignity in my service to God. Paul told the Galatians in the 6th chapter in verse 4, "But let each one examine his own work, then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." There's nothing wrong with me taking great joy in the success you have in service to God. In fact, I'll tell you quite frankly, when that happens, that fuels me to do more. That encourages me. But we need to have reflection within our lives and self-examination to ask ourselves quite simply this: am I striving for that excellency? Am I examining myself honestly? And if I do and find myself at times in mediocrity, I need to get out of it and strengthen my service to the Lord. What we need to do if we take on this notion of of excellence in our service is recognize that we're talking about having a quality within our principles that gives us conviction to stand against the things Satan throws at us. If I find myself to be mediocre and just going downhill, then all Satan has to do is give me a little nudge, and he's got me going even further away. But if, and it goes back to 1 Corinthians 15 we talked about a moment ago, but if I'm striving for that excellence, and I've got that conviction, and I'm deeply rooted within God, within Christ, within His Word, then Satan is going to find that I'm immovable because of the excellence that I've taken on in attitude about who I am in my service to God. That comes by doing the little things. As we talked in class momentarily, standing against the government, or if we were captured by ISIL and being threatened with death unless we deny Jesus as the Christ, I don't believe it will happen if we have lived a life of mediocrity in our spiritual service to God. But if we are living a life of excellence in service to God, then no matter what we are threatened with, we will stand with God. If you don't do the little things, it's eventually going to show. Connie and I have gotten very serious in our house hunting, and we have a realtor and we're looking at houses. And a number of the houses we have looked at superficially look very good. But when you start looking at some details around the foundation, they didn't do something right as they were putting the foundation in. It may not have caught everybody's eye, and it may have gotten covered over by some things. But during the wear and tear of life and the earth and global warming on it, what you find is those flaws begin to get exposed because they didn't do the little things right to begin with. It's true in our spiritual lives. We're calling for high commitment to excellence in this morning's lesson. Our individual work as Christians. And no child of God here is not involved in this. If you have the knowledge to have come to Christ and died with Him in baptism, then I have the right to preach this to you. Others have the right to challenge you to it. And God certainly has the right to command of us this striving for excellence in our personal work and in our personal lives. And then we as a congregation, we as a collective, we're going to work toward excellence as well as we are working in His kingdom. If we're going to have this excellence, we need to go beyond just a get-by attitude. We need to have that extra work that is careful, that is diligent in the Word, that's not superficial. You know, we've compared it in today's lesson to being mediocre or being excellent in our work. When we are mediocre, when atrophy sets in, our muscles become less effective and will reach the point that they have no strength at all. When spiritual atrophy sets in, it deteriorates our spirituality and ultimately destroys our relationship with God. Think about the oddity of that. What we're ending up doing is we're destroying the relationship that is built upon Colossians 6:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Christ is living in me. And yet, I allow that living in me to become atrophy, to waste away to nothing. We have to be careful. We have to consider such passages as Ephesians 5, 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." What is your Christian walk right now? How would you privately define yourself in today's lesson? Remember, there's no gray in today's lesson. It's one or the other. Are you spiritually in that place of atrophy, in that place of mediocrity? Or are you in that place of excellence? Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 to be diligent, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is excellence in today's lesson, and that is the call for each and every one of us. I would hope that we will all be determined today to give the Master our best in everything we do spiritually. None of it should be half-hearted. Every one of us need to aim high. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what excellence does and calls for. I would hope that whatever aspect of the Lord's work we involved ourselves in, it will be an aspect that will bring honor to Him and certainly will lift us up and lift others up as well. Now, if you're not a child of God this morning, if you don't find yourself as one who's walking in the light, and that's what we're called upon to do in 1 John 1 and verse 7, then you need to come to the light. And in order to come to the light, what we find is that you need to recognize that you're walking in darkness. And having recognized that, you need to have a desire and a willingness to turn away from serving Satan and to serve Jesus Christ. That's repentance. Confessing Him as the Son of God and dying with Him in baptism. There in Romans, it's coming up eventually. There in Romans, the 6th chapter, I use Galatians 3 to put on Christ. But in Romans 6, we're told that we're buried with Him. We die with Him. Galatians 3 tells us we put Him on in baptism. Do you have that need? Then we encourage you to respond to the invitation by having a seat at the front as we stand together and as we sing.